Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the Two Guys Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noobs Book Club, where we are reading and reacting to the latest Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman book, Dragons of Deceit, in the Dragonlance universe. I'm Sean, noob of all trades. As I always do in these episodes, I will be recapping, in this case, two chapters, chapter 21 and 22. Then I will give my reaction to them. This will get us to the end of book two, and at the end of the episode, as promised, I will tell you my plan for next week and the chapters that I will be covering then. Okay? Without any further ado, chapter 21. Wolfstone and Destina walk through the rain to the dwelling of Duggan Redhammer. As soon as they approach the house, the storm abates. Destina also notices that the quote-unquote friend is a jeweler. Wolfstone, keen to the secret, appears unimpressed by any of these coincidences. Destina treats the gray gem covetously, constantly touching it to make sure that it is still there. Anytime someone looks at it, she covers it with her hand. Wolfstone notices that he both wanted to look and wanted to avoid looking. Likewise, the gem shifted how it appeared, from beautiful and stunning to quote-unquote ugly as a worm turd. This all added to him simply wanting to be rid of the thing. As soon as he rang the bell, meaning Wolfstone, Duggan threw open the door to greet them. Long black beard and hair, he wore the clothes and tools of a jeweler. He welcomes them into his house, but Wolfstone notices quickly that they aren't the guests of honor. Eventually he breaks the ice and asks Duggan to invite them in. During the entire visit, the god makes eyes at the gem. At first enamored by her surroundings, Destina doesn't notice. The god, Rorks, tips his hand by mentioning the leather thong will not hold much longer. She then becomes protective of the gem again. He offers to make a chain for her after the thong inevitably snaps. He first tries to ply her with dwarven spirits. When she declines, he begins to make the charm. The rhythmic clang of his hammer lulls her to sleep. Redhammer says he will keep the gem safe. Wolfstone counters with the fact that Destina won't stop until she gets it back. He mentions how she's a Salamnic and they are stubborn, and they will never stop until they get what they want. Duggan waves him off and goes on with the setting. When he swings the hammer back, it flies out of his hand with a faint gray glow, and, despite his efforts to catch and retrieve it, it flies through the air, and as if honing in on it like a missile, it smashes against the gray gem. Wolfstone notices immediately that the hammer cracked the gem's surface. Redhammer, visibly panicked, grabs the gem, covers the crack with his hand. He then blames the hammer, having seen the gray glow surrounding it. They work together to set the gem again and try to repair the crack. When Wolfstone asks Duggan to tell the other gods what happened, Redhammer scoffs. The gods will war among themselves, he says, to be the ones to capture and bring chaos to their wills. Instead, he relents and suggests that since the gray gem chose Destina, they should grant the gem's wishes and hide it with her. Wolfstone initially argues, but eventually relents. He tells Redhammer to send Destina back to her place of residence in the mountain, and that he will handle the rest on that end. As long as Redhammer promises to figure out a way to handle the escaped chaos, and better hide the gem this time. They part ways, neither of them particularly trusting that the other will fulfill their end of the bargain. Destina wakes up back in the inn, initially with no memory of how she got back. Gradually, she remembers being in the storm, meeting Duggan, and worrying that he wanted to take the gem from her. She reassures herself by admiring the gem more, by handling it and making sure that it's there, that type of thing, what she was doing before. A knock at her door, and her landlady barged into the room. The landlady accuses him of driving out customers and ruining her business. Destina tries to engage her in further conversation, but the landlady ignores her and insults her for being drunk and being with Wolfstone. When Destina tries, again, to defend herself, the landlady storms out of the room. Destina goes down to the common room to meet with Wolfstone and try to get some answers. If he knew about the landlady hating him for affecting her business, he seems unconcerned. He also refuses to answer her question, how. Instead, he gives her a sack full of money and tells her that the High King wants her to get the hell out. The offer is non-negotiable. He gives her the advice to hide the gem, refuses to acknowledge his role in the matter, and tells her that she's stuck with it because Red Hammer put a ward on it. The landlady echoes his sentiments to get the hell out when Destina tries to pay for her stay. Destina does as asked and meets with Saber, intent on flying to find Taz and the time-traveling device. He gives her some quick history of the town as they fly, that they went to the trees initially after the cataclysm, but then after the dragon wars, they came back down from the trees, and that the inn of the last home used to be in the tree, but it's no longer. And Destina's thankful for that because she likes to have her feet firmly on the ground, other than, I guess, flying with a dragon. Saber asks her business. She doesn't deny when he suggests a jewelry shop. They again make a plan to meet, this time at Crystalmere Lake, when she is ready. She considers double-crossing Ungar and finding another mage to help her with the Grey Gem and the time-traveling device, but realizes that no other mage would be any more trustworthy than Ungar to her. This book ends with her falling asleep by the fire, awaiting to meet with people in the inn. And now for my reaction to the two chapters. Deus Ex Machina, literally, but in context. Weiss and Hickman clearly had fun writing this chapter. First, they steer the Grey Gem right to the god. Then they get a comedy of errors between the god and Wolfstone. Most books don't make me laugh, but I fully admit to laughing out loud at that part more than once. I mentioned last episode that the gods of Kryn are like the Greek gods and that they interfere in the lives of mortals. Rourke obviously embodies this fully in this chapter. Add to that, the scene reads like an ancient Greek farce, just a masterfully written chapter in my opinion. Probably my favorite chapter of the book so far. Bravo, I say. Bravo. Destina, too, continues her arc of growth from spoiled little rich girl to likable character. I still contend that arc may close as trying to make her unlikable again as a villain. However, I have a feeling that I might like her more when she breaks bad. Maybe that's their inspiration the whole time. At this point, I'm back to N. Weiss and Hickman, I trust. They've proven themselves over the last few chapters that the beginning part of the book was just what the beginning of part of the book was. And I don't know why they went so slowly in the beginning, but now that they've gotten here, things are really ramping up and they're really proceeding, and I'm excited to finish the book now. The cold shoulder from the dwarves? Expected and necessary. Only thing I can't figure out. Did Wolfstone set her up? Or was the Junkin cover story all just Rourke's having a bit of fun at the expense of Paladine's revered people? Again, the gods interfere in the lives of humans, but just like Greek gods, they fight amongst themselves, and they have these little infights that they have as well. So, was Rourke's just poking a bit at Paladine with that drunk story? Or, and this just came to me, was it a way for Wolfstone to protect Destina? In spite of his own, possibly feigned distaste, he does give her a friendly warning to lay low with the Grey Gem, knowing that if people knew, they'd come from far and wide to hunt her. Maybe he threw himself on his metaphoric pike for her. I know, maybe not an important plot point. Yet? Maybe it comes back later in this book, or later in the series. Maybe I'm just reading too much into a convenient narrative necessary to push the story forward. I guess we'll find out. As always, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, you can find us at www.twoguysgaming.net. There's articles there. You can find links to our socials and our YouTube, which right now just has a video series of me playing through a daily RPG calendar that I got for myself for Christmas. But we are in Mario in March, so I'm going to try to do some playthroughs of old Mario games as well and post them to the YouTube. We will be back on Sunday with Chapter 23, next Tuesday with 24 and 25, and then Thursday with 26. That's the schedule for next week. Again, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday seem much more doable for me, so that's what we'll stick with for the foreseeable future. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you on Sunday. Bye, guys.
We are...